The United States of America is having an election this fall. Donald Trump is taking over headlines all over the place. How do pro-lifers navigate the world of Donald Trump? Love him or hate him? Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Thank you a lot for coming along for the ride. It's always a joy to have you, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Those of you maybe who have been listening for a long time and have never hit me up with a review, that helps this podcast get into more people's earphones. Hopefully you're not one of those moral monsters that plays your podcast out loud on buses and public transit and at the dinner table while the rest of your family is trying to eat. But if you are, there's hope for you, I'm sure. I joke. Hit us a like and subscribe. Go to our YouTube channel. Love to get up to the next goal, obviously, is 800 subscribers on there. If we can make it to 1,000 before the end of the year, that'd be phenomenal. We are getting traction in the comment section. Appreciate all ye folks in the comment section. Agree or disagree. I'm not calling them trolls. I think they're people who are asking good questions. I'm going to be answering a lot of them, not only on full episodes, but also in the comment section. So please do keep commenting in there. If you're pro-life, please do keep commenting. It drives up the interaction and algorithms and increases the likelihood that people will come in contact with yours truly and the pro-life content that we are trying to talk about. As I mentioned off the top, we are talking more and more and more during pro-life outreach about everything that is going on south of the border. I'm sure many of you tuning in are from south of the border. And whether you are a gigantic Donald Trump supporter or gigantic Donald Trump opponent, how do we deal with the inevitability of Donald Trump and his policies, his character, his lack of character, whatever, infiltrating into our conversations? What are we doing in our conversations when the question comes up, I bet you just support Trump? That's not a question, but rather an accusation. Or why do you want Trump to be president, or XYZ? What do we do, particularly during pro-life outreach? What do you do outside of pro-life outreach? I'm not going to comment on, because I'm not an American and I don't have any vote in this upcoming election. We're going to do lots of episodes because we're anticipating a Canadian federal election sometime in the next probably 12 months here. That's not guaranteed, but I would be very surprised if we didn't have an election in the next 12 months. And so we will tackle more of what to do when you are tasked with voting. And we're going to touch on this in a bonus episode coming out later this week, I hope, with Sam Say. Throwback to Samuel Say from Slow to Right. He was a staff member of CCBR. He's now living the dream in America, speaking all over the place on a bunch of important issues. Hoping to have him on the show in the next few days, time of recording here, to do a deeper dive into what's at stake in this current election, how to talk about candidates, whether we count them to be simply less than ideal or imperfect, or whether we count them to be outright outrageous. How do we talk about candidates, especially when we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place kind of thing? But that's not necessarily the topic that I want to dive into today. I more want to talk about when this isn't the main thing. How do we keep the main thing the main thing? And I think this goes for whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in New Zealand, shout out to our New Zealand people, or whether you're in America. Maybe you're a gigantic Trump supporter. Maybe you're not. Maybe you are doing outreach the day before the election. How do you keep the main thing of your outreach being pro-life apologetics and changing hearts and minds on the topic of abortion the main thing? And I say that because I would argue that in that context, we should avoid as many conversations as we can about red herrings, whether they are red herrings about politics, whether they are red herrings about church theology, whether they are red herrings about economics or sociology or history or anything like that. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to keep the fact that preborn children, little boys and little girls, are being brutally killed day after day after day. In Canada, this is happening through all 9 months of pregnancy. In America, this is happening at different stages, state by state. There's people traveling to states to have abortions. Roe may have been overturned, but abortion has not. And so in the words of Mark Harrington, who we recently had on the show, check on that episode if you haven't already, in the show notes below. But how do we keep the main thing the main thing? Well, one way that we do that is by being very direct and being very explicit. When somebody says like, well, Trump is going to be the worst thing ever. He's a convicted felon and all this kind of stuff. You know what? That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about whether abortion is a human rights violation. What do you think about abortion? You know, that's not our focus for today's outreach. I get that that's an important question. I would even at times go through common ground analogy and question. You know what? I agree with you that this is a major topic that demands a solution. Imagine there are people trying to run a food bank, trying to feed the hungry, and you came in and argued that they should be tackling a different issue rather than feeding the hungry. Would that make sense? If we wouldn't hold that standard to somebody doing a food bank, then why would we hold that standard for somebody doing pro-life outreach? It's amazing how often that can actually pivot towards a conversation about the humanity of preborn children, because they're actually looking after real people and you guys are just worried about fetuses and embryos. That way we can cut into that human rights argument. You know what? Could we agree though that all human beings should get human rights? And if something is growing in an organized way, couldn't we agree that it must be a living organism? And if that living organism has human parents, isn't he or she a living human? And wouldn't that make abortion a human rights violation? If that makes abortion a human rights violation, then why don't we respond to this crisis in the same way that we would respond to other similar crises? Right? That common ground analogy question off the top of why would we distract the issue? Why would we get away from talking about the topic at hand, the issue of abortion, and tackle something different, whether it's politics, whether it's religion? Well, what do you guys think about gay marriage? What do you guys think about this other topic? You know, I agree with you that those are important topics to talk about. Imagine that there are people who were talking about that topic and a bunch of pro-lifers went to that campaign and started asking why they weren't talking about something different. Would that be appropriate? If that wouldn't be appropriate, then why would it be appropriate now? I think that the soup kitchen resonates a little bit more. It's a little bit more practical. It's a little bit more realistic, I think. But that's where I'm going to go, and I'm going to try to get back onto the topic of abortion, if at all possible. If I can't do that, if they're really pressing me on but this is going to shape abortion in America. If Donald Trump is elected, we are going to have a different abortion outcome than Kamala Harris. This actually matters. And we are pushed to have an opinion, especially if you're in America and this is bleeding into your abortion conversations. And it maybe it's something that you want to be bleeding into your abortion conversations. How do we not be distracted, right? I don't think that we need to be defending more than we ought, right? I don't think that we are Donald Trump's emotional and factual bodyguards kind of thing. I don't think we have to defend Donald Trump any more than any other politician, love him or hate him, whether they are somebody that you agree wholeheartedly with or only minorly. I think that we can say, you know what, I agree with you that candidate X, be it Donald Trump or anybody else, is a flawed human, is an imperfect candidate, is not a great candidate. I gotta be honest with you, I am comfortable throwing him way further under the bus and saying, you know, I agree with you that he's not a great candidate and I wish that there was a different Republican nominee in general. Like I'm not going to get into the Never Trump. I'm not going to make this into more than it is. I'm trying to keep this on topic. I agree with you that this is not an ideal candidate. Imagine that there were two candidates running, one of whom was very, very awful in a lot of ways, and one of whom was very likable in a lot of ways, but the likable person thought that it was okay to kill innocent born humans. They're very likable. Maybe they even had superior policies in a lot of other areas, but they thought that it was okay to kill innocent born humans. And the really dislikable, really unlikable person didn't think that it was okay to kill innocent humans? Would we ever suggest we vote for a likable candidate or a candidate who has better subsequent or secondary or tertiary policies, but had an awful primary policy because they were more likable? And if not for born children, why for preborn children? And it really pushes the issue on priorities, right? It really pushes the issue on priorities. Obviously, Donald Trump has made this way more, he's always made it difficult on pro-lifers, I would argue, but he's made it way more difficult by supporting IVF, by talking about how in Florida he thinks that a six-week abortion ban, or as Mark Harrington put it, ability to detect a heartbeat, whether that's earlier than 6 weeks or later than 6 weeks, but generally sometime around 6 weeks, thinking that is too early and that there should be greater extent to abortion access. Donald Trump has really sold out a lot of pro-life supporters. And yet we're still comparing somebody who has at least some hesitations and limitations on abortion access to direct and intentional killing of innocent humans, whereas Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party seem to have no opposition whatsoever to any abortions, and maybe even partial birth abortions and infanticide after the child is born. That's what we're faced with, right? I often look at historic politics. I've got a book by Winston Churchill about his political contemporaries and whatnot and the debates that they were having. And yeah, I yearn for a time where abortion doesn't need to dominate the political conversation, when literally killing innocent human beings isn't something that has to be debated. Because if that didn't need to be debated, if both candidates thought that it was wrong to kill innocent born humans and innocent preborn humans, then I think that we could have a really fascinating debate and conversation and political engagement on these other secondary issues if they were able to become primary issues, but they can't. And we need to remind people that they can't. And that's, again, one of the important and vital roles of abortion victim photography, to make the main issue the main issue. That we wouldn't sweep killing hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of innocent born human beings, weak and vulnerable though they may be, if that was happening, innocent born humans being directly and intentionally killed by state-sanctioned entities, then if we're not going to sweep that under the rug, and if that would be our primary election item, if we forget ultimately about the economy, if we forget about job creation, if we forget about other moral or ideological issues in light of hundreds of thousands or millions of innocent born human beings getting killed, and that automatically becomes our priority in the voting box, then why don't we take that perspective? Why don't we prioritize killing innocent preborn humans in the same way? I think this is one of the major flaws of the pro-life movement. And I think that the pro-abortion movement has hammered on this effectively, that if we really think that abortion is as bad as it is, then why don't we prioritize this? Why do we have pro-life leaders even at times saying that they're not going to vote in favor of Donald Trump? I'm not familiar of many, if any, who have said that they're going to vote for Kamala Harris, but obviously there's implications there. If we would take this approach, if we were killing innocent born humans and we were faced between somebody who said, you know what, it's totally okay to kill innocent born humans up until 2 years old, and our alternative was to say that it's not okay to kill innocent born humans after 8 weeks post-delivery, both of those are bad opinions. Both of those are human rights violations. Both of those are terrible. However, one of them is going to save more human beings than the other. And we have to be pragmatic when we go into voting boxes. We have to be ideologically pure when we go into educational venues like schools, like colleges, like street corners and on doorsteps. We need to be ideologically pure in all of our educational efforts, which makes my job really easy. I don't have to navigate the ups and downs of political how-to or whatever like that. That I do not envy the my colleagues in the political arm of the pro-life movement. Educational, it's easy. I can be hard and fast against IVF. I can be hard and fast against all forms of abortion, including in sexual assault and even life of the mother, when we're talking about directly and intentionally killing one human being particularly when there's other accessible and approved interventions available. I can be ideologically pure. This is fantastic. I do not envy my political counterparts, but I think that we have to look at this as we would look at killing innocent born human beings. If Kamala Harris thought that it was okay to kill innocent born human beings up until 2 years old, and Donald Trump thought that it was only okay to kill innocent born human beings up until 8 weeks after, what would we have to do? Like him or hate him, Donald Trump, like her or hate her, Kamala Harris, what would we have to do if this pivoted around innocent born human beings? This is not my endorsement of Donald Trump. This is not wishing Donald Trump a long and continued and successful and all this kind of stuff. I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for all of our politicians. They all need our prayers. You and I need each other's prayers. We need better politicians. We need people who are lobbying our sitting politicians. We need to support pro-life entities who are nominating and electing pro-life politicians, all that kind of thing. We need that. But that's how I am navigating and how I would encourage you to navigate conversations about Donald Trump and other complicated political considerations. And I would argue other red herrings, including faith and theology and economics and sociology and history as well. Initially, just try to avoid it entirely at that time. This might not be relevant necessarily in your whatever smoking parlor conversations with your liberal neighbor kind of thing. Maybe you get into all of this. That's not what this podcast is all about necessarily, though. This is about pro-life outreach. If you're trying to change somebody's mind on abortion and Donald Trump or politics or religion or sociology or history come into it, I agree with you that that's an important discussion to have. Imagine we're talking about an important issue and we agree that there's another important issue, but we try to distract from the first important issue by pursuing a second important issue. Why would that be appropriate? If that's not appropriate, then why are we doing it now? Let's talk about abortion and then pursuing the humanity of preborn children, because that's probably where it's going to go. And if not that, then I agree with you that politician X or theological consideration Y or economic factor Z is an important conversation to have. Imagine that these were our alternatives. Imagine that we had a candidate who was going to support killing innocent born humans but was really likable otherwise, and a candidate who didn't support killing innocent born humans and was really dislikable or unlikable otherwise. We would have to prioritize killing innocent humans over likability. We have to keep the main things the main things. If for killing born humans, why not for killing preborn humans? I hope that makes sense. Let me know if you have any questions or concerns. There's going to be a lot more commentary, especially around elections coming up, because I know that that is of interest to our audience. That's all going to be bonus episodes. Unless it's pro-life apologetics, it's going to be a bonus episode. And so you can know that the numbered episodes in your podcatcher and the Tuesday episodes, generally speaking, on your podcatchers and on YouTube are going to be apologetics oriented. Anything happening outside of the Tuesday or that isn't clearly marked might be a bonus episode. Trying to do both content, might end up kicking back into some Patreon paywall content as well as I have opportunity. But I hope that that makes sense to you. Let me know questions, comments, concerns. Email at prolifeguys.com. Hit me up there. Hit me up on social media as well. And may God bless you abundantly, wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.